flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thomas Dimitroff, former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons and longtime NFL executive, we've had on the show a few times over the last several years and thoroughly enjoyed chatting ball with. But, Thomas, it is great to see you again. How are you?
I'm good. As long as we found our hotels, we're fine.
That's right. So, Danny, I was checking in or trying to check in to a hotel, and Thomas is right in front of me when I'm checking in. And he goes, I think I'm at the wrong place. And I said, I think we're both in the wrong place. And I stayed to try to sort it out. He's like, you want to take the Uber to the right place? So I had to... Yes, but we both figured it out.
We figured it out. Yeah. There are three Omnis in the same span of a mile, though, so I don't, right. We weren't that far off.
I don't think we're the first people to make that mistake. But I will say you were one of the first people to come on our show and tell us that you really liked the brain trust that Washington put together. And for you, there was some experience that came with that. Yep. You worked hand in hand. You were the Peters and the Quinn in Atlanta. You were the Peters part as the GM with Dan. And obviously, you worked with Peters in New England. I didn't love the Quinn hire. I think I even addressed this with you on the air. I don't love defensive coordinator hirings and retreads. And I'm an offensive-minded, pair it with a play, you know, number two overall pick quarterback guy. But I've been eating some crow. I mean, he had a hell of a year. He built a great culture. And God bless him. I mean, he might be the coach of the year for a team that just got to the NFC title game.
Well, you know, you watch him. You watch what he brought to the table. It's an interesting role of reversal. When he came into Atlanta, I was a seven-year veteran. He was the rookie. Now he's the seven-year vet, basically. And AP's the rookie, right? So I think it works really well when you have, you know, it's just a really good mix on that level. Dan is 100% leader. And by the way, I think I told you this. I don't know how many players came to me on the side and said, I will play for Dan Quinn at less for less money. That's how much I appreciate this guy. And, oh, by the way, if I can stay here for my career, he's got a real hold on the players. You know that.
Thomas, for this Final Four, maybe even by the playoffs extended or looking at a team like Detroit that by all accounts probably should have been playing in a game like this, what's kind of our theme? What's our takeaway for how these teams are built? Easiest thing to say is have a great quarterback, will travel. But looking at how these rosters are constructed, right? And I'm kind of looking here for takeaways and ideas maybe for Washington that they can apply. But looking at some common themes, where do you go? You know what? This is what's winning in the league right now.
Well, I mean, look, we know the trench thing. Look, I've had people battle with me for years that I've spent too much time putting tools around Matt Ryan, right, to keep that young quarterback growing. Let me start off with a tight end. I mean, your tight end performed very well. When I was looking at it going in, I'm like, ooh, I don't know, Zach. I don't know if he's at the tail end. He obviously is. I think continuing to grow that tight end role and the athleticism for a young quarterback to have that high percentage shot is always huge for me. We did it with Matt Ryan again and Tony Gonzalez, right? Those are big things. I think both of these teams, and we'll start with Philly, as you know, they're built with such a strong offensive and defensive line. Let's call the trenches the way they are, right? I'm basically getting there and saying if I ever were to have come back as a GM, And I was talking indirectly with Tony Boselli because Tony Boselli took over that president job, right, in Jacksonville. You know that there are people out there that believe 100% believe building through the trenches. Jumping around a little bit here only by saying I love that how he does that. I love that they're aggressive with how they put that together. They have strong stoutness there, toughness there. That sets the tone for a really good quarterback that you guys have. I think, you know, I think on the other side, you have coaches like on Andy Reid's side, a coach who is trusted, who is respected, who is believed in from the players, which is really, really important, so that when you bring people onto your roster, they're going to follow Dan Quinn like they follow Andy Reid in a different way. Don't get me wrong. So but what I will say, and I can go round and round, I've talked to a million people today, so I apologize for this. Both of these GMs are at the top of their game, and they're aggressive with how they put together their team. They don't look bad. They're not worrying about what you know, fan base and media say respectfully. They're like, they're going to do what's best for the team, and I think that's really important. You guys don't have – I mean, there are not holes, but you guys – I keep saying you guys. Like, I think that your local team – Is it a you guys?
You guys. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
We all stretched long, Thomas. Like I was doing it, you know?
Yeah.
I just
was the left guard. Danny was the nose tackle.
Guys,
yeah.
I get it. I think my end all be all on this is I really do believe that you guys have some areas that you can build with. Gosh, you guys almost have $100 million, right? Isn't there?
Third most cap space.
Third most cap space. Get aggressive. Don't spend it. I mean, I'm not, you know, I know you need receivers as well. I don't. To go out there and spend it on T. Higgins, that's a lot of money. That cap may be nearing, $40 million. I don't believe that. I think you can be really creative with that money to the positions that you can get. And there's a really strong draft class in pass rushers, which I'm sure you guys would continue to want to have. I don't know if you're going to bring me back to the pass rush situation that's available
now.
Oh,
we will. Absolutely.
Okay. And that may be one.
Yeah, so I want to tackle that. But before we get back to even additions, you said something I've got to double-click on before Danny went kind of league-wide there. You said you had players come to you willing to take pay cuts to play for Dan Quinn. I know you're not going to get into specifics, and you shouldn't, but I want to hear more about that. I mean, just because they liked the guy that much?
Well, because they thought, A, that given his approach to everything, his positive, passionate, persevering approach, that's what they bought into. They knew that he was going to do all that he could to help them be the best player they could be, even as a head coach, right? He wasn't out there, of course, coaching the wide receivers, but his presence, I think that's where it came from, because I think they have never been around a coach that had their best interest in mind, at least in their opinions. And these were legit players. I won't get into the details on it, but I was always amazed at that. Meaning, I knew that Dan was special that way, but people were telling me, like, you know, even I want to finish my career, but taking the pay cuts for that, that's a big, big deal for
It's a huge compliment.
Yeah. It's a huge compliment.
So is that what it is? Like, when I'm trying to figure out the secret sauce, my brother-in-law is a high school football coach, and he called me one night, and he's like, what makes Dan Quinn such a good coach? You know, why did all these players love him? Why do guys like Logan Paulson, who I think you were there, maybe when he came in as a third tight end now in D.C., he told us there's never been a coach he was around that, like, he just enjoyed playing for more. And you hear that from everybody. He's like, what is that? What's that secret sauce? So I don't know the answer. But it sounds like maybe, from what you just said, it is the feeling that they think he believes in them or wants the best for them? Or
yeah, like, no, look, I think he is that guy, and it is authentic. He wants to come in there, and he also will hold them accountable, which they love, right? They know in the end, Dan has a tough-ass side if he needs to be that way. He's not going to go out and play it up and act like the, you know, contrived tough guy. But if he needs to address someone, and I've been in those situations with him, which I think, there you go, man, as positive as you are with everyone and upbeat as you are, when it's time to turn the screw a little bit, he will do that when appropriate. And they believe that, and that's for the best of them as well. So if they're lacking a little bit and he presses them, they know on the other side he's also going to pat them on the back, give them a hug, and say, okay, let's go, let's jump in. Like, there's something special about a leader like that, I think.
Thomas Dimitroff with us here on Grant and Danny. So repeating this act and maybe even exceeding it here after year one, which was such a wild success, exceeding everybody's expectations, what's the biggest challenge now that you're the hunted going into sort of year two of this program?
Well, I think, you know, everyone went in this year not thinking, you know, they were thinking, oh, we'll see how this plays out. You know, if they can get to 500, that's a big deal. And I don't even know where you guys all were on that, of course, because I wasn't listening regularly. But I think these are the kind of things now where you can't sit back. This is coming back to my earlier rambling point was being aggressive, making sure you're making sure that you are forward thinking on all of those holes, like the O-line. Get that for years to come. Get that tight end situation taken care of, because before you know it, you could be in the second half of next season, you have an injury here and there, and all of a sudden you are in a really different spot. So I think it's being aggressive with your forward thinking on making sure that this team stays together and builds it on the front end of it.
You mentioned the word aggressive. You were one of the few GMs, I remember, that was kind of like a wheeler and dealer in the NFL. The NBA is so different. Yeah. I think I had you on at trade deadline time, and I mentioned to you, I'm like, when I go back and look, you treated it almost more like baseball or basketball. And a lot of NFL GMs just don't do that. I don't really know why that is. But how do you know when it's time to push the faders up a little bit? Like Peters probably had a 3-year plan or 5-year plan or 1-year, you know, 3 different plans, whatever. And now you just accidentally, whoopsie daisy, we got to the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels might actually be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. So, like, how do you now recalibrate? Because you're saying, let's not waste the momentum here. Let's go. What if he's sitting there going, I don't want to push it because we probably are more of a 10-7 team in our, you know, method. And maybe this year with a tougher schedule, we're just trying to stay at 10-7. Like, how do you do that math in your head?
Yeah, I think the big thing is this is, we've said this time and again, this is a not-for-long league. Dan Quinn has a really strong grasp of that. I believe Adam Peters does. You can't just sit back on your hands. You have to make the most out of your opportunities. And again, in 2 years, that could change. So that's where I continue to say, when you're looking at potential trades, either acquiring them, which I'm sure we'll get into, or when you're looking to trade your own players, right, or move on from players, it starts with, when you're outlining, it starts with the fact that whether these guys are performing or not, right? That's a big thing. And then it is, let's call it the way it is. If it's a character issue within your locker room and you're just not getting out of that person, he's not a program type of person, that's another thing. And then, you know, ultimately when you're talking about money, I mean, some of these things, if they're just not producing to the level they should be producing and their money is exponentially higher than it should be, it's time to truly look at that. And I think Adam Peters has a really good feel for that. It's just a matter of taking action on it, right, when it's presented that way. And that's important.
How did you weigh draft picks, salary cap, you know, it just everything, the full puzzle piece of building that roster where, you know, I may have to get worse here or have less to work with in a certain area to build my team versus a need? Like, what would win in kind of those different tug of wars in terms of improving the football team? Just thinking about where Washington is now and how they can apply that.
Well, I would just say, if I'm understanding your question correctly, I mean, everyone knows you can't get it all, right? You can't go in any given year this year, even though there's a lot of cap space here. What we did is we were really big on scenario building, and I think Dan would talk to you about that or not. Maybe he wouldn't, but that was a big part of what we did. We would go through scenario after scenario about the best way to build our football team, where we're going to allocate our resources, where the best places to go in free agency are, value, of course, and where the best places are to draft. And I think that is something that a GM and a head coach have to be on the same wavelength. You can't just bring in players, as you guys know, that are just talented players but don't fit in the scheme of what they're doing. And that's a whole other topic of conversation. If you are lucidly clear with each other on how you're going to build that football team as a GM and a head coach, then I think you have a fighting chance to take care of a lot of business in 1 year and understand the next year you can address some of the other issues. I think it takes a really smart internal office, head coach and GM, to have foresight on it. And you never can predict the injuries, of course. You can predict some of the financials, of course, and the value of it all.
Thomas Dimitroff, who ran a front office with us on G&D. So we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about putting a GM hat on here for the big story in town now, which is a lot of people are linking Washington as a fit to Myles Garrett. He wants to be traded. So I guess first maybe you can act like you are the GM of the Browns. I mean, is that something that you would even do? What would it take to get him? I saw a couple of different sites floated 2-1s as kind of the starting point for the negotiation. And if you're Peters, is that something you'd be willing to pay?
So I'd just say, first of all, as you know, you think about the GM from the Browns, right? And you think about how tough that is to hear. I mean, they've run through a lot there. Kevin Stefanski and you know, how they're doing things there. They're good people, and they know football well. Andrew Berry's a smart guy. He's a Harvard guy, right? But they're going through a lot. The first thing is, oh, my God, someone's really telling us that they don't want to be here like that, of that caliber. That's a real stick in the whatever it is, right? That feels bad. Your initial is, all right, if you don't want to be here, screw you. That's what the initial is. And then you come back a little bit, you're like, all right, let's see how we can make this work, right? You put the ego aside and the emotions aside. How can we make this work? But it seems as though it's time, right? It seems as though that's what his statement was. I'm talking about player, not GM, of course. And I think at that point you step back and you start really thinking about how you're going to get this deal done. And can you get it done, right? How many people are going to be out there willing to take two ones and potentially a three? It might even be more. You never know. Like, that, this is a big deal, and it's a big deal for Andrew Berry and company, but also on the receiving side, right? That costs a lot, and you're going to have a big ticket.
So if Berry calls you, and you're the GM of Washington, And the deal works. It's, you know, you guys are on the phone a bunch, but it comes down to a 1-1 and let's just say a 4. Would you do that?
I would strongly consider it if, you know, given the money you guys have here space-wise, given the money that the Washington has, I think that is something that I would seriously consider. Where on the other side, like I said a little earlier, I would not consider a receiver in that spot, of course. I think this is a different – and Dan thrives on these kind of guys, right? And I think you're –
What work goes into that, Thomas? Like, my concerns, like, so just, like, you then be the GM, just sitting here is I got to first find out that he – is not declining, which doesn't seem
no
like
question.
He is.
Right.
But, like, what GM work goes into that? And now I've got to figure out, okay, what is my team's evaluation of him? So, like, you know, you guys at Sumer Sports will come out with what you think he should be traded for. Someone else might have. Like, what does that GM work look like before? I'd imagine it's not just Peters on the phone making his own decision.
No, and I think this goes, when I'm talking about scenarios, this kind of plays in as well. You look at the entire organization, you run the mapping over the next few years of where your money is and where your declining players are, and that's part of your job as a general manager to project along with the head coach, and you continue to work through all of those issues and all of those elements of your roster to determine, is it worth us? We have a quarterback. Like, you guys... I mean, Washington has a quarterback right now they can build for, God willing, for 10-plus, whatever it is, years. Mm-hmm. You know how much stress-free that, or how much less stress that is? That's a great spot to be. That's why I would say this is a good city and a good franchise to consider that. Where I also think, you know, Detroit, it's a little different there because I don't know where their quarterback situation. The quarterback situation, to me, dictates this to be a much deeper consideration than some of the other teams you're talking about. Because you still, 2-1s is a big deal. It is a big deal. And there are still holes in the roster that they need to take care of. But my biggest thing is you have a quarterback and you have a damn good head coach. And I think those are two things in a situation that I think you can build with.
Thomas,
but it's not easy. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. My last one real quick here is looking at last year's market, for example, for tackles and looking at last year's market for wide receivers, there wasn't a lot of top end, right, in terms of what I think now are kind of those premium positions where guys are making $25-30+ million, kind of non-quarterback division. Does the marketplace and maybe kind of predicting what it's going to look like influence how you acquire players? In other words, where I go, I can't go get a left tackle, I got to do it through the draft, right? I may not be able to go get a defensive end, I got to do this in trade. Does that kind of influence things when you're in that seat?
Oh, no question. And I think it's up to, you know, again, you guys know that I'm working for a data football analytics company. I mean, there's a lot of really cool data out there that's indicating where the good value positions are in any given draft and any given free agency period, for sure. We know that. And I think that's being very smart about it, right? You don't want to just go out there. And this is where I disagree on the market side of free agent wide receivers. It's really expensive. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of – I was in the past not a big fan of running backs in the free agent market. My God, I mean, what Howie did here is a world-class move here, as you know. But you are exactly right, and I think that's very important from year to year. And you also contrast that with truly getting from your scouting staff the strengths of the draft. We know this is a very strong tight end draft. We also know it's a very good pass rush draft. That might be part of this where you would sit down and say, okay, we can pull off a really good pass rusher in this year's draft. And we don't have to do this 2-1 deal. So that's how this all goes on. It goes back and forth a lot with the staffs.
Sumer Sports, love everything you guys are doing, the knowledge, the information. President over at Sumer Sports, what do people need to know about the outlet? It's growing.
It's growing. We grew from 3 to 75. We have all kinds of great information on online. We are, just so you know, we deal NFL, of course, but we also deal NIL portal. And that's a big thing now, right? It's all intertwined. Even though they're both one's NCAA and one pro, we love where we're going with that, and we continue to build. We're going to be adding probably another 10 scouts to our organization, and we have a good solid stall of guys right now that are really good. So it's a great combination in my mind of subjective football knowledge and wildly intelligent people.
Yeah, the data just makes you smarter. Thomas, love chatting.
Thanks,
thank you.
Grant.
Of course,
thank
you're so
Thomas.
Plugged
Thanks,
in
Grant.
With everybody
Appreciate
in
you.
Washington's organization. It's always great to have you on.